The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Jim Cronin from the North Carolina Reading Service. For the next hour, I shall be reading to you from the Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Okay, let's start off with a really serious piece today. How about 22 hilariously bad pieces of advice you shouldn't follow? This advice will make you laugh, but you definitely shouldn't follow it. Try to be a rainbow in someone's cloud. Don't ever take a fence down until you know why it was put up. Never ruin an apology with an excuse. All excellent words to live by. Sadly, that's the end of the good counsel on this page. What we present here is advice to avoid at all cost, collected from our readers and elsewhere. Read it, laugh at it, learn from it, but whatever you do, don't follow it. Commune with nature. If you see a bear, don't have time to run away. Hug it. Bears cannot stretch their stomachs. My no-nonsense grandfather. Drive offensively. When I started learning how to drive, my dad, completely serious, said to me, always weave a little and all the other cars will stay away from you. Don't find someone rich. I was working as a designer at a small company. One day I asked my boss what I could do to advance myself. His advice, find a rich man and get married. I had a better idea. I sent my resume out and went back to school. 8 years later, I got an associate's degree in graphic design and have enjoyed a successful career in mechanical design. So thanks for the bad advice, boss. It lit a fire under me and launched my life. Plug in. Stop reading. You read too much. You're going to hurt your eyes. Go watch TV for a while. My grandma, every time she visited. Find a mentor. An internship at the White House will be amazing on your resume. Improve your complexion. As a young teen, I had terrible acne. A doctor told me that my acne would go away once I married. Presumably, sex would make it disappear. I'm glad we got a second opinion. I didn't get married until I was 34. Ostrich win. A 6-year-old, I entered a 100-yard dash in my school's Little Olympics. My 14-year-old brother advised me to run like an ostrich on my tiptoes, straight-legged, and I finished last. Pull the plug. My husband grew hot peppers in our garden 1 year. Wanting to dry them out, we asked our Amish friend what to do. She suggested use the microwave to quicken the process. So we took her suggestion and nuked the peppers. Within seconds, sickening fumes filled the kitchen, driving us out of the house, coughing and gagging. Only later did we stop to wonder why we took the advice to use the microwave from someone who doesn't use electric appliances. Come up short. It's the thought that counts. Light up. As a rookie fireman, I was advised by older firemen to start smoking. They said it would help acclimate my lungs to the smoke in a building fire. Figure out your passion. Follow your passion. This advice sounded great, but it assumed I had some predisposed passion that I was born with. I didn't. So instead, I spent years searching for my passion, wasting valuable time and money. I didn't find it, and it left me with heartache. Later on in life, I realized that passion isn't something you're born with. It's something you develop. I wish I had been given the advice to develop your passion. That would have been a life changer. Try a new color. You would look great with black hair, a friend told me. Let's dye it. He did, and I didn't. Worse, although the color was supposed to wash out, it didn't. Instead, it turned blue. Dark blue. Almost navy blue. Since it was years before the pumpkin dyed hair, I was horrified. Although, who knows, maybe I started a trend. Sell now. In 1984, my sister's husband worked for GTE, servicing small relay stations around Redmond, Washington. He suggested we buy stock in a company that was one of his clients. So I bought 200 shares, as did my mom. We watched the stock go up to around $31 a share and then drop again. Then it would go back up and drop again. My old accounting professor told the class that if we had a stock that performed that way, it probably would never go higher and we should dump it. So that's why mom and I sold our stock in Microsoft at under $31 a share. I never look at what it is today because I won't want to be sick. As a retired financial advisor, I had to give that advice to people, too. Multi-use leaves. When I was a Boy Scout, we went camping. My scout leader said just to use the leaves to wipe. It was poison ivy. Fly gently. As my brother left to pilot B-17s in World War II, our word molded him to fly low and slow. Terrible advice for a pilot leaving for war. Be a godfather. Be a Michael, not a Sonny. My mom gives me this advice every time I want to confront someone. How about I probably shouldn't behave like any member of the mafia? Charge it. Just open another credit card. It's free money. That gem came from my friend, who is thousands of dollars in debt and has no idea she will eventually have to pay all that off. Point down. Trying to instill a life lesson in her energetic young son, I called out as he ran by, "When you are running with scissors, point them down," his dad rejoined, "or just don't run with scissors." Stall out. I wanted to earn a doctoral degree and for decades and finally saw the opportunity to do so. When my mother heard about it, she said, "Why? You'll be 50 years old when you complete it." But Dad shot back, "She will be 50 years old anyway. Let's help the kid get her education." Thanks to Dad, I've had a very rewarding career as a university professor. Carpe diem. Go ahead. What could go wrong? Or another one of a similar thing. Hey, watch this. Hold out for perfection. When I told an unmarried friend I was engaged, she asked whether my fiancé was perfect. And I told the friend she wasn't. In that case, he told me, don't get married until you find the perfect person. I adore my friend and have had 26 years of imperfect but happy marriage so far, with 4 children who bring me great joy. In the process, I have learned to tolerate imperfections in others. That friend, by the way, is still single. Be gullible. Trust me. Not bad advice. Okay. Now that we've had our giggles, let's go to something a little more serious. How about inspiration? He delivered for me. How my UPS man went from annoyance to an emotional lifeline. For the first year of our relationship, I didn't even know his name and didn't welcome his interruptions. I felt hassled by the unexpected knock on my window, which was necessary to get my attention because my apartment lacked a doorbell. Despite my annoyance, I secretly named him Chris, as in Kringle, because he was kind of a modern-day Santa Claus. With his white hair and grandfatherly vibe, he bought me presents and tried to spread cheer, except his uniform was UPS brown, not Santa Claus red, and I had ordered and paid for the presents myself. Our relationship started when I moved into a small ground-floor apartment north of Boston. On the rare days I was home, the UPS man, seeing my car in the driveway, would knock until I reluctantly came to collect my package. I hated small talk, but with him I made an effort, chatting about the weather or the Patriots, fail-safe topics for building camaraderie in Boston. I asked my somewhat misanthropic boyfriend if it was odd for me to spend so much time with the UPS man. He said it was weird, possibly dangerous, and urged me to ignore future knocks, which should have been easy advice to follow. But Chris reminded me of my father, who had also spent his working days alone on a truck, in his case delivering home heating oil, and had loved chatting with his customers, so I continued to answer the door. But that was all before my boyfriend and I broke up, before Tom Brady left us and moved to Florida, and before COVID-19 changed everything, including my feelings towards Chris, the UPS man. Trapped in my studio apartment, I craved conversation and company. Far from dreading Chris's knock, I became a COVID version of Pavlov's dog, salivating when I heard the raps. Well, not exactly salivating, but I did look forward to his visits and deliveries, which were plentiful. From workout equipment to baking supplies, he brought endless streams of stuff I had ordered and would then stay for FaceTime. We discussed current events, the volatility of the toilet paper market, pop culture, we both love Baby Yoda, and details about our lockdown hobbies. He had taken up gardening while I was learning how to play the recorder. One dreary afternoon, he lingered for a particularly long chat, sharing details about his new lemon trees. After walking me through the entire repotting process, he said, "Well, I hope this helped." It was then I realized that he meant our 5-minute conversations to be a lifeline, and he was possibly doing the same for others, despite his busier-than-ever workload. On days without deliveries, I would work uninterrupted at the small desk I had set up facing my front window. Between strategic planning sessions on Zoom, I would watch the traffic outside, looking for his brown truck to pull up my narrow one-way street. Despite my ex's warnings, there was nothing the least bit creepy or even flirtatious about Chris's overtures. He would tell me about his favorite routes and neighborhoods, how he loved tree-lined streets but hated hills, and his obsession with Star Wars. I even learned his real first name, Dave. He had a wife and 2 sons, part therapist and part guardian angel. He also checked on my mental health. "Are you losing it yet?" "My work? How many Zooms today?" "And my distractions. Any new hobbies?" One sunny day in early June, he motioned to the package he had placed on the porch and said, "That felt heavy. New workout equipment?" "No," I said, "it's just a dumb frying pan." By then he knew me well enough not to shrug it off. "Why does I feel if there's a story here?" I hadn't told anyone the embarrassing truth of the pans, but with him the story poured out. Over a decade ago, I said, my mother found a gorgeous new cookware set on sale at Macy's. She was saving it for my wedding shower, or my sister's, whichever came first. Because that hasn't happened for either of us yet, the pan sat in my mother's basement, mocking me every time I went down there. So last month, I finally took them. My mother hadn't told me to take them, not because she didn't think I deserved to, but because she felt that doing so was like throwing in the towel for both me and my sister. Honestly, I'm not sure why I took them, I said. I thought I would feel empowered, but I just feel sad. I looked at the ground as my eyes welled with tears. Blinking them away, I said, anyway, to use instead, I bought an overpriced non-toxic pan I saw on the Instagram, and you just delivered it. Dave stood quietly for a moment as if working out a complicated math problem. I had a dream the other night that the world ended, he said, but I survived. I know that's a lousy thing to say given what's happening, but it wasn't sad, because my family survived too. He shrugged behind his mask. I wonder, if it all disappeared except for you, your family, and your house, would those pans hold the same meaning? I shook my head. Probably not. You are exactly where you're supposed to be, he said. I believe that, and I hope someday you do too. One hot day in July, Dave knocked with a package. When I answered, he told me that USPS was changing his route. My heart sank as we stood in our usual spots, him leaning on the railing and me standing on the threshold of the door. I'm excited for a change, he said, but I'm going to miss my regulars. Congratulations. I didn't know what else to say. He broke the silence with a typical Dave question. When travel becomes safe, where will you go first? Italy, I said, not knowing how to say goodbye to Dave. I instead babbled about the small Pugliese town where my mother was born. That must be nice to know where you come from, he said. It is. I only wish I'd helped me figure out where I'm going. He nodded, but between his mask and sunglasses it was difficult to know what he was thinking. I used to wonder what I was doing with my life, he said. My job, this job, just felt so small. What changed? Nothing apart from my attitude, he said. I realized that I was delivering people things they needed, things that brought them joy. Even before the pandemic, I decided it was important. I couldn't see his smile through his mask, but I could sense it. So wise you are, Padawan, I said, and so important. At that, Dave finally pulled down his mask and flashed me a smile. Making a happy meal out of it. Another wooden ball? Would it kill the makers of avocados to put a different toy inside? A scammer's perfect mark. My mom. The caller said that she was in trouble and he could help. Mom fell for it and lost thousands. It took us months to recoup her money and her dignity. Hello? Someone has access to your bank accounts through Amazon, and they can take all your money. I'm calling to help you. One December morning, my mother's phone rang. She tugged the iPhone from the holster she kept clipped to the waist of her jeans and wondered who might be calling. Perhaps someone from church was checking on her recovery from the coronavirus. Hello, she said. The voice that greeted her sounded concerned. Someone has access to your bank accounts through Amazon, and they can take all your money, he told her. I'm calling to help. Her mind raced. Oh, Lord, she prayed silently. Oh, Lord, give me strength. The voice was warm and reassuring, and my mom tried to focus closely on his words. My dad was driving to work, and she was home alone. She had been cooped up in the house for weeks with COVID-19, isolated from her community, and she missed the balm of a friendly voice. She tried to steady herself. The man said he needed information to make sure the money was safe. He transferred to a different male voice, again soothing, reassuring, calm. She promised not to hang up. A brain injury decades earlier made it hard for her to follow his instructions, but she tried. The voice explained slowly, carefully, how to swipe and tap on her phone until she had installed an app that allowed him to see what was happening on her screen. Now he followed her every move. After some hours, she mentioned she had to relieve herself. It's okay. I'll stay on the line, he said. She parked the phone outside the bathroom and picked it back up when she was done. As noon approached, she told him, I have to eat. I'll wait. It's okay. Don't hang up or we'll lose all our progress. She set the phone down on the counter to make a sandwich, then pulled some chips from a cabinet and padded over to the kitchen table. The phone buzzed with a text. It was my father checking in. She packed back there was a problem that she was fixing it. She had it all taken care of. She hit send and then she heard the voice. It sounded angry. Why would you do that? You can't tell anyone. What if he's in on it? She felt confused. That didn't make any sense. But she also didn't fully trust herself. She was worn out from her slow recovery, and the steroid she was taking as treatment gave her a hollow buzz of energy. 20-minute drive away, my dad sat at his desk in the office of an automotive manufacturing plant. Reading her message, he felt a trickle of anxiety. But he, too, was on the mend from COVID-19, and his mind felt foggy. He got another message, this one from a coworker, and he forgot about his wife's text. At home, my mother dug out her worn, printed-out packet of passwords from a pile of books and old church bulletins on a side table and flipped through its curling pages. She returned to her chair in the kitchen and followed along as the man told her where to enter them. She tapped install to install Cash App. She opened up PayPal. She downloaded Coinbase. She set up Zelle so she could easily send money directly from her bank account. She didn't recognize all the names, but she wrote down her new passwords in the margins of her document. As the afternoon wore on, she began wishing for a nap. "We're almost done," the man assured her. She just wanted to be finished and then to never think about it again. The technology made her feel as if she were fumbling in the dark, and she was reluctant to ask more questions. Outside, the sun had dipped below the wooden fence surrounding the backyard, and the house had fallen into a gloom when the man finally ended the call. The phone felt warm in her hand, and she shoved it back in her holster. That night, when my father got home, he noticed right away that something was off. My mother was jittery and kept fussing with gadgets on the kitchen counters. He suddenly remembered her text from earlier. "What happened today?" he asked. She shook her head. "You don't need to do anything. I got it all taken care of," she said. "Got what taken care of?" "I'm not supposed to tell you." My mother thought she had labored for hours doing what was necessary to protect herself and her family. Instead, the scammer had siphoned away all her personal information, her Social Security number, date of birth, driver's license number, and about $11,000. The new financial apps she installed were all portals through which more of my parents' money could flow into strangers' hands. In the next month, my father and I tried the best we could to undo the damage. It was a frustrating journey, getting scanned and dehumanized on its own, but so were the hours spent begging customer service people for help. I pleaded. I raged. I started to wish the app companies could make a page from our scammer. While I had come across as friendly and reassuring, I got chilly half-replies or, just as often, silence. By the end, all I wanted was for someone to show some empathy, to say perhaps, "I'm calling to help. It's okay. We're almost done. I'll stay with you till we're done." My parents were college sweethearts who met outside the mechanical engineering building at Mississippi State University. At the time, my mother was recovering from a traumatic car crash that left her with frequent partial seizures, which made it harder for her to study. But she managed to become one of the rare women to graduate with a civil engineering degree. A year later, my dad graduated and joined the Navy as a mechanical engineer, and they got married. After that, my mom's seizures began to worsen. When they moved to a base in Tennessee, the state denied her a driver's license, and she was devastated. Doctors gave her two choices. She could take medication to help control the seizures, but she would still be unable to drive. Or she could undergo a risky surgery to remove the scar tissue on her brain, and with luck, end the seizures. Once my little sister and I were born, she realized she needed to be able to drive. She got the surgery. Her recovery was tough. She ping-ponged between unspeakable fury and unstoppable tears. Her short-term memory was unreliable, and she had a hard time reading text. At bedtime, she liked to read me stories from Alice in Bible Land, but she often stumbled on the words and glared at them in frustration. When she got stuck on a page, she would pick up where she had left off and tell the tale from memory, hoping to soothe her. Over time, she began to struggle with basic tasks. She became overwhelmed, fixing meals that once were routine. She got angry when she forgot where she had placed her keys. Ever since then, I have felt responsible to protect my mother from what my dad calls two-legged monsters, people who sniff out weaknesses and prey on her friendly, open nature. I'm sorry, I apparently clicked the wrong button on the computer, and I'm going to have to repeat some of this, I think. Anyway, let's go to the part where he felt queasy. He phoned USAA and spent the next hours on the line with the bank. My mother, agitated, perched on the armrest beside him, trying to recall over his conversation with the scammers. And I apologize again. Somehow the computer didn't pick up my keyboard. "I can't remember. I don't know what to do," she said repeatedly. The USAA representative helped them deactivate Zelle, but did nothing about the $9.99 transferred through it. When the call ended, my parents huddled around her phone and thumbed through the unfamiliar payment apps. They eventually zeroed in on changing their passwords. They turned to Password Packet, but neither my mom nor my dad could decipher her notes. "This was so stupid. I can't believe I did this. So stupid," she said again and again. The next day, my father did what many parents with tech problems do. He called one of his children, me. "Hello," he said, his voice uncannily chipper. "Hi," I answered cautiously. "What's wrong?" "I just need to talk something through and figure out how to handle it," my dad said. His voice dropped a half octave as he abandoned his cheery tone and gave me the basic outline. Together we set up fraud alerts through Experian. My father texted me the password to my mom's PayPal account, and I managed to shut it down. He got back on the line with USAA, and that night, fortunately, learned that he could recoup nearly $10,000. The next day, I called my mother to ask for her version of the events. Her reply was simple, and the pain behind her words was clear. "I did a stupid thing," she said. "I'm so stupid." For weeks and months after the phone call, I sank deeper and deeper in rungs of customer service hell. As I tried to close the remaining accounts, the worst experience was trying to close my mom's Cash App account, which we feared the scammers might still access. For a while, my correspondent at Cash App kept addressing me in emails as Jenneth, which is neither my name or my mother's. No matter what I did, I couldn't seem to get clear guidance. I emailed, I called, I was transferred to several agents, all of whom had different thoughts on the matter. One suggested I send documentation declaring my mother dead. Another advised gaining legal guardianship over her. I grew increasingly frustrated at what seemed to be a superhuman lack of empathy. Finally, I tagged the company in an exasperated tweet. Such matters have always seemed tacky to me, like throwing tantrum in public. But it worked. The company told me to send a DM with more details. That day, I messaged back and forth with Cash App support. I was fully caffeinated and at the end of my rope, which meant my message had some personality. "I know this is not your fault," I typed, "but it is really frustrating. There is not a better way to resolve this. I cannot be the first person to experience this." Indeed, I was not. In the first year of the pandemic, fraudulent complaints to the FTC against Cash App ballooned 427%. A company spokesman says Cash App has since improved its fraud detection capabilities. To my surprise, I got an acknowledgement. "We totally hear you, and whenever you can, we camp out here. If those steps don't work, just let us know, and we'll try other options here." I felt a flicker of optimism. What a curious, enchanting thing, this glint of humanity on the other end. Eventually, after 3 months of agony, I was able to close the Cash App account. Sitting in my desk chair, I pushed back from my keyboard and let out a sound that I could not replace now if I tried, a guttural sound of long-simmering anxiety leaving my body. My father is downright petrified of the future. He has sweated terrifying nightmares in which he loses everything he has worked so hard to put away. He reads articles about hackers and digital security, but he doesn't understand all of it. So he sends the links to me. When he was told to buy shirts for his work uniform through PayPal, he couldn't bring himself to do it, so I bought them for him. My dad, the bravest, smartest man I know, is now scared of the Internet. "It's as if they took my name and money just because they could," he said to me. It's very likely that my mother's brain injury has made her more vulnerable to predation. Studies have shown that those with mild cognitive impairment may be more susceptible to scams, particularly if they struggle with episode memory, check, and perception speed, double check. But that doesn't make her as exemplary as you might think. The aging process takes a toll on most brains. It weakens neural connections and shrinks the prefrontal cortex, which help orchestrate thoughts. Older adults who have had more time to accumulate assets also lose the most money to scammers. In 2020, the year of my mother's incident, Americans overall lost at least $3.3 billion to fraud, and my mom was one of at least 2.2 million victims of similar heists. In this respect, my mother is in fact very normal. But it's the mental and emotional fallout that worries me now. Recently, I spoke with a private investigator, Carrie Kursky, who works on Internet fraud cases more extreme than what my family went through, though they often begin with a similar tactic. Kursky said she sees clients who, like my mother, blame themselves, that the internalized shame can twist into something more sinister, paranoia, broken relationships, even suicide. Everyone thinks it's just money, she says. It's a huge psychologically because people think, how did I fall for this? Kiersey says victims become obsessed with worrying that the bad guys will show up their door and try to hurt them. They can't sleep. They stop eating. A lot of times they have to take time off work to try and recover from this, and then they lose their jobs. It's a horrible downward spiral. I flack back to my mother's haunting words. I did a stupid thing. I'm so stupid. Like so many of us, she assumed a scam is something named at the gullible, something to fall for rather than a crime when a victim and perpetrator. She didn't fall for it, Kersky said firmly. She was manipulated. One day, while visiting my parents, my dad mentioned, "You know another scammer called your mama?" My head snapped up. "She did the right thing, though," she said. "She hung up with them and called me." I turned to look at my mother, who was at the kitchen table, updating the to-do list she uses to shore up her memory. She looked at me, and we smiled at each other. These days, our conversations tend to be short. We rely on different languages to express our love. I don't know that she'll hang up the next time a perpetrator calls her number, but as I watched her, I felt deep in my bones that the only way forward was together. That's sad, and as we get older, we become so much more susceptible to those kind of things. After that rather dark story, let's look at some humor. If rock bands ran the country, here are departments they'd run. The Joint Chiefs of Staff would be Motley Crue. Missions to the United Nations, Foreigner. Environmental Protection Agency, Green Day. Nuclear Regulatory Commission, Canned Heat. National Transportation Safety Board, Crash Test Dummies. U.S. Patent Office, the Mothers of Invention. Federal Aviation Administration, the B-52s. Amtrak, Grand Funk Railroad. A teenager brings her new boyfriend home to meet her parents. They're appalled by his piercings, the vulgar slogan on his T-shirt, and his constant cursing. Later, the girl asks her mother, "So what did you think?" "He doesn't seem very nice." "Oh, please, Mom," said the daughter. "If he wasn't nice, would he be doing 500 hours of community service?" Reason my kid's Barbie is increasingly relatable as I approach middle ages. Although she hardly ever leaves the house, one of her high-heeled shoes is always missing. The one sustainable non-polyester item in her wardrobe is a sweater Grandma knitted. Every time youngsters manipulate her into doing some exercise, her joints make this weird clicking sound. Her so-called dream house still has some structural issues. The robot is her signature dance move. In fact, it's her only dance move. Her camping equipment has been used once since it came out of the box and did not live up to any of the publicity material. Her husband was last seen gathering dust in the garage. And with that, let's switch over to Consumer Reports, and I'll try not to screw up the computer this time. Sorry about that. Our September 22 article, "Do You Really Need a Root Canal Crown or Implant?" offers strategies for making decisions about those pricey procedures. Our readers shared their thoughts and tips. "I found your report on dental care very helpful. I was wondering, however, if it's safe to return to the dentist yet because of COVID-19. Yes, it's generally safe to see your dentist with reasonable precautions. When making your next appointment, ask what steps the practice is taking to keep patients safe. Even before COVID-19, many dentists and their staff wore personal protective equipment, such as masks, gloves, and eye guards during appointments, which help protect both the provider and the patients from the germs that cause illness. And be sure to wear a mask yourself in the waiting room. The opening photo with a hand on the exam lamp makes me wonder if lamps are cleaned between patient visits. The same hand that goes in and out of my mouth also makes frequent lamp adjustments, dragging along saliva and germs. Editor's note, while we can't guarantee that every dentist has followed these practices, the American Dental Association and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention do have recommendations for infection control in dental settings. Among their guidelines, cleaning and disinfecting all surfaces, including lamps, and replacing any disposable plastic covers protecting equipment between each patient's appointment. My dentist does all those things. No dental or medical procedure should be performed on any patient without an informed consent by the patient or guardian. A dentist is required to explain, in understandable language, the benefits and risks of the recommended treatment of any alternatives, including no treatment at all, as well as the cost. The patient must be allowed to ask questions, and the dentist should ask questions to make sure the patients understand." And that's from Jeffrey Levin, DDS, a retired professor, Virginia Commonwealth School of Dentistry. "Prices for the same service can vary between dentists and locations. I moved from an expensive area in Connecticut to a small town in Massachusetts. Dental costs here are 50% lower." Ground poultry. Your article entitled "Is Our Meat Safe to Eat?" in the August issue was very enlightening. You touched on possible salmonella in ground chicken, but did mention the contamination possibility in ground turkey. Is the chance of getting ill from ground turkey the same as it is from ground chicken? Editor's note, no. In our recent test, we found that about 6% of 110 ground turkey samples were contaminated with Campylobacter and or Salmonella bacteria that causes foodborne illness. That's much less than the 30% of ground chicken samples that contain Salmonella. We didn't find any Campylobacter in chicken, but still high enough that you should be careful when handling ground turkey and be certain to always cook it to 165 degrees Fahrenheit to kill any bacteria. Comfy desk chairs. In the most comfortable desk chair for you, except ever issue, you omitted one key factor in general. Women have narrower frames than men and require width-adjustable armrests. Would have been useful to include models with that feature. Editor's note. Women and anyone with narrower shoulders can benefit from width-adjustable armrests. Our test did include some chairs with that feature, including the Hahn and the Branch models included in the article. The Steelcase Series 1 model also has an optional four-way adjustable armrest. The comfort scores were based on a panel of three people, two of whom were women. I bought a refurbished Steelcase Series 1 office chair for about a third of the retail price through an office furniture reseller. eBay is a good starting point, and the feedback on the site will help guide a purchase. Most larger metro areas will have these seller, so you can go by and choose the one you want. It's a great way to save money and recycle a gently used product. Editor's note. When buying a used or refurbished chair, try to see it in person so you can check its condition and comfort. Also find out if the warranty is still in effect and whether it were transferred to you as the new owner. Finally, be sure the chair will fit in your car fully assembled. As our testing discovered, some models are tough to disassemble and may require two people to do it. Fire prevention. New rules for fire prevention safety in the September issue was very informative. It may also be useful to share with your readers the extensive 2017 Kitty fire extinguisher recall. I've returned several such recalled units. The process was quick, easy, and free. I believe CR may have previously reported this recall. The number of affected fire extinguishers was well into the millions of units. CR did report on the 2017 recall when it first occurred, and again last year, noting that Kitty's mishandling of the recall resulted in injuries and fire damage. We're happy to do that your return went smoothly and agree that it's wise to check for recalls, particularly in potentially life-saving products like fire extinguishers. I actually took advantage of that. I had two Kitty fire extinguishers. Go to the website of the Consumer's Product Safety Commission at cpsc.gov/recalls to find information on recalls. CR readers with digital or all-access membership can check our car recalls at cr.org/more. Great article about smoke detectors. Please don't forget carbon monoxide detectors. Serving as a fire chief and fire marshal in my town, I've been on numerous CO calls where the levels were high enough that medical treatment was required, and in one case, the CO poisoning was fatal. Editor's note, this is an excellent point regarding carbon monoxide detectors and one we discuss in mold, radon, cooking gas, how to stay safe from hidden home hazards, starting on page 424 of this issue, which we'll look at. Are some car colors safer than others? What color car is the best for resale on page 53 of the September issue suggested it's best to buy eye-catching colors that are sporty. I think these colors are also safer. I've noticed that gray, silver, and black vehicles blend in with the road and are not as easy to spot in the side-view mirrors. Editor's note, it seems obvious that a flashy color would be easier to spot than an asphalt gray-painted car, but the Insurance Institute for Highway Safety advises that daytime running lights or headlights are more effective at preventing multi-vehicle daytime collisions in bright colors. And this is a kind of aside that I'm going to make. Lots of times those bright colors are purchased by young, kind of reckless drivers for the fanciness, so they're not necessarily, the statistics might be a little skewed. I love the 9 easiest cars to drive in the September issue. Discovering that a Toyota Camry was on your list made my day. I purchased the 2018 LE model, my 9th Toyota. While they advertised 47 miles per gallon, overall was impressive. I consistently exceeded that. I get from 50 miles per gallon in the winter to 50 miles per hour in the spring, summer, and fall. The ride is smooth, the visibility is excellent, and the safety alerts are priceless. At 85, I'm happy to be driving the best car I've ever owned. What we're testing in our labs. In our 63 labs, we continue to review and rate products. Here are timely picks for this month. Electric toothbrushes. We tested 17 models. We test for how well brushes clean teeth, how long a battery charge lasts, ease of charging noise and use during use, and more. The median was 64. The scores range from 49 to 83. Best overall and quietest was Oral-B iO7 Series at $200. Overall score was 83. Top-notch cleaning for less was the Brush Electric at $95, scored a 79. And the bargain tie was the Brightline AX6 7700 at $30. The overall core was $75. How long before I have to replace my electric toothbrush head? You may have heard that you should swap out your brush every 3 to 4 months, and that's true, according to American Dental Association. But electric brush head blades can cost it. A two-pack for the Oral-B above can cost $30, which may hesitate to chuck your brush that often. So check it for signs of wear. If the brush still has upright, intact bristles, you're probably okay to keep using it. But if the bristles are matted or frayed, pull out a new one. Worn-down bristles are less effective at cleaning. And toss your brush if you've just gotten over a cold. Lingering germs on the bristles could lead to reinfection. By the way, the Brightline above has a lower-cost brush head, 4 for $10. Handheld vacuums, under $50. We tested 23 battery and corded models. We test for a vacuum's ability to clean carpets and bare floors, including picking up debris from corners, noise level, and more. About the scores, median 70, range 46 to 80. Perfect for pet hair. The Black & Decker Dustbuster HV1315 at $45. My girlfriend has one of those that we bought. Great for carpets, the Bissell Pet Hair Eraser, corded model, 71. Overall score, cost $35. Good time, run time, 14 minutes. The Sharp Pet Perfect SV75Z at $45, scored a 70. Water leak detectors, 5 models. How easy a system is to set up and use, as well as detects different types of water leaks and more. Median score was 74, range was 66 to 93. A 93 for the Flo-By Moen Smart Water Shutoff System at $500, scored a 93. The Guardian Alexa Leak Prevention System, GVD3, $350, scored a 74, as did the Prime Plus Smart Water Assistance and Shutoff at $700. Non-canceling headphones. We tested 89 wireless models. We test for sound quality and how well headphones reduce ambient noise when noise cancellation is turned on. Median was 69, range was 44 to 88. Quick charge earbuds, the Heinizer CX Plus at $130. The overall score was 76. Mono price BT300 ANC at 45, and this is over the ear things, and they scored a 74. And long claim battery life, 35 to 55 hours, the JBL Tune 660 NC at $70. Nonstick baking sheet pans. We tested 12 models. We test for how evenly a pan bakes cookies, how easy it is to clean, how well the nonstick coating resists scratches, and more. The median was 69, the range was 63 to 83. The easiest to clean was the Williams-Sonoma Gold Touch Pro Nonstick Corrugated Half Sheet, $35, scored an 83. Durable low-cost pick, mainstays from Walmart, gold nonstick aluminized half sheet for $8. Overall score was 81. Lightweight and smaller in size. Welded diamond-infused nonstick medium baking sheet for $13. It scored at 81. My banking fees have gone up again. Should I switch banks? This is Ask Our Experts. If you're unhappy with the fee imposed on your checking and or savings accounts, it's worth looking at fees of other banks. If, for example, you incur a $12 monthly maintenance charge and as little as $20 in ATM fees annually, you could still save more than $160 a year by switching to a bank that doesn't charge those expenses. It's no secret, however, that switching banks can be a real hassle, particularly if you have direct paycheck deposits or recurring online payments. To see whether there's a better deal, make a list of all your current account fees so you compare them quickly with fees at other banks. Be sure to include monthly service charges and ATM withdrawal, overdraft, and wire transfer fees. Also consider the minimum deposit, plus how many free withdrawals you get per month, convenience of ATM access and check writing. And of course, compare the interest rates the banks are offering. If you decide to switch banks, don't close your old account right away. Follow these steps. 1. Make a list of your current automatic deposits and withdrawals. 2. Open the new account and have your employer reroute any direct deposits to it. If the first direct deposit is a success, set up all your automatic deposits and withdrawals. Then cancel automatic payments on your old account. Leave enough money in the old account to cover checks or payments that haven't cleared yet and to stay above your minimum balance. Transfer remaining funds out of the old account, then close it and get a written confirmation of the closure. How can I listen to free music on my phone? While many music streaming services let you sample their paid, ad-free options with a free trial, those typically end after a few weeks, and then the services charge you a monthly rate. So if you're looking to pay nothing and keep it that way, your best option is to roll in a free tier offered by major music apps such as Pandora, Spotify, or Diageo, a relative newcomer that streams only classical music. These apps offer large catalogs of free music, though all will interrupt your listening with ads if you don't opt for their premium level of service. Choosing the service that's right for you will depend on how you want to listen to those ads. If your goal is to listen to as few ads as possible, Spotify may be your best bet. You can opt to listen to one long ad, then have 30 minutes of uninterrupted playtime. But you typically can't pick individual tracks on Spotify's free phone app. If you want to listen to Bruce Springsteen, for example, Spotify will curate a radio-style playlist of his music for you. Pandora lets you request specifically songs on its free tier, but you need to listen to a short ad each time. Adagio's free tier offers only radio-style playlist, and you listen to ads regularly. But it can't be beaten for classical music lovers because of its extensive collection. Go to cr.org/freemusic for more info on these and other music plans. Is the pasta made from hearts of palm healthier than regular pasta? Pasta made from hearts of palm, a white vegetable that tastes similar to artichoke hearts, is lower in carbohydrates and calories than traditional pasta, which is made with semolina wheat flour. A 12-ounce bag of hearts of palm noodles has just 60 calories and 12 grams of carbs, and about 3 grams of protein. Compare that with 1 cup of cooked semolina pasta, which has 220 calories, 43 grams of carbs, and 8 grams of protein. While hearts of palm won't give you as robust a serving of protein as traditional pasta, it does offer the benefits of small amounts of iron, manganese, and zinc, plus a little vitamin C and potassium. Because hearts of palm pasta also has a decent amount of fiber, it can be beneficial for your gut health, too. Eating hearts of palm pasta instead of the usual version is a great way to increase the vegetables in your diet, says Amy Keating, RD, who leads CR Food Testing Labs. Plus, many consumers say it tastes more like the real thing than other vegetable-based pastas, such as zoodles made from zucchini. Okay, let's get clean with this one. CR Insights, the best and worst laundry detergents. Every store carries shelves chock full of laundry detergents boasting superhero-like names, Ultra Oxley, Stain Fighter, and Power Pods. What's more, a single detergent brand might offer a variety of formats, including liquids, powders, pods, and strips. How to choose the right cleanser for your clothes? In our labs, we found that some types of detergent clean more effectively than others. Liquid detergents generally work best, tending to surpass the cleaning performance of pods. And liquids and pods usually do a better job than new detergent strips, which are more eco-friendly than in less plastic packaging, but simply don't clean well. The best detergents in our test tackle hard-to-remove stains like blood, coffee, dirt, and more. But not all detergents are worth your money. Finally, there can be a big difference in performance even within the same brand. Tide Plus Ultra Stain Release gets excellent rating in our test, for example, but Tide Pure Clean gets only a good score. Top detergents in our test. Tide Ultra Stain Release scored an 84. Kirkland Signature from Costco Ultra Lean, oh, by the way, is 28 cents a load for the Tide. The best value is Kirkland Signature Ultra Clean, 11 cents. It scored 76. The Tide scored 84. Best for Sensitive King is the Persil Pro Clean Sensitive. It costs 37 cents per load, and it got a 75 overall score. Three detergents to skip. The worst pods packs are Arm & Hammer 4-in-1 Power Packs, only got a 32. Sun, which I've never seen before, Triple Clean at 8 cents, got a 31 score. And the worst strip, True Earth Eco Strips, only got an 11 score. Gosh, I've never seen a score that low. Build a safer fire. There's nothing cozier than gathering around a fire pit in the fall. But U.S., nearly 9 out of 10 wildfires are started by people being careless. That's why it's important to review a few safety basics before building your next backyard blaze. Step 1. Check the weather. Don't start a fire on a day with strong winds. Also check that local fire rules haven't changed this autumn. Some areas at risk for wildfires may be restricting backyard fire pits. Step 2. Place the fire pit at least 15 feet from your house in foliage. Go farther if you can. And have a hose and fire extinguisher nearby. Dampen the ground around the pit so that stray embers won't start a fire. Step 3. To build a fire, opt for the hardwoods like oak and birch, and stay away from pine and spruce, which are harder to light and get smokier when they burn. Step 4. Create a nest of tinder and kindling in the center of the fire pit, then stand the firewood upright around the inner perimeter of the pit, over the tinder. Stack any extra wood for the firewind, upwind, and at least 10 feet away from the fire. As a Boy Scout, I learned all how to do that. Step 5. Stay safe when cooking over the fire pit. Wait until the flames have died down. Use some thermometer to make sure any meats have reached a safe internal temperature. Ground beef and pork should be cooked to 160 degrees Fahrenheit and poultry to 165, and beef roasted steaks and pork chops to 145. Step 6. An hour before you put the fire out, stop adding wood. Once the fire has burned out almost entirely, saturate the remaining embers with cold water. Then use a shovel to stir the ashes, making sure they're soaked through. Time travel. Capturing memories. This is cameras. In 1938, we test the low-cost mini cameras like this $5 model, but find them to be overpriced or too shoddy to recommend. In 1947, we test home slide projectors, which let you show color photos to a group. We rate this SVE model a best buy at $63, which is less than half the price of the top-ranked $130 projector. In 1958, CR tests 32 hold-it-up-and-look photo slide viewers. A glitter slide dial light viewer is a CR best buy at $3.94, and lets you have both the brightness and the focus of the slides. 1962. There's a whole new way to show home movies. This Technicolor projector uses film cartridges, eliminating the need to thread a reel with film. In 1978, almost a third of Super 8 camcorders record sound. We test 20 and find that those with the microphone booms tend to have the best sound quality. 1987. Instead of using 8mm film, many camcorders now record directly on VSH tapes, and we find that they tend to have very good picture quality. In 1990, a tripod is essential to avoid jittery video, CR says. Our tests show that a Hollywood Titan is the steadiest. 2002. Wanting to find a better way to film while surfing? Nick Woodman starts the GoPro company, which now makes one of CR's top-rated action cams. In 2014, while digital cameras can shoot video, camcorders like this waterproof Sony Action Cam still make the best quality videos, they say. CR currently has over 80 cameras in our ratings. This Canon takes the great photos and videos, but is the best buy to boot. The Canon EOS M50 Mark II, $700, recorded 81 overall. Get free audiobooks. Listen to audiobooks can make morning walks, daily commutes less tedious. But downloading titles from conventional apps such as Amazon Audible is a pricey habit, up to $22.95 for a monthly subscription or between $17 and $35 per audiobook. One way to save is to borrow free digital audiobooks from the library, including hot titles like Where the Crawdads Sing by Dilly Owens or John Grisham's thriller Camino Winds. Here's how to get started. Pull out your library card or apply for one. You'll need to have an active library card number to access any library's free downloads. If you're not a member of your local library yet, the fastest way to apply is through your library's website. Many public libraries now let you apply online, so you can get a digital copy of your library card within minutes. Download a library app on your phone. Free apps such as Libby and Hoopla let you download digital audiobooks from your local library to your smartphone. When you open the apps, you'll be prompted to input your local library branch and card number. While many local libraries are compatible with Libby and Hoopla, some aren't. So if the app can't find your branch, check directly with your local library. It may offer its own standalone app instead. Start browsing, but plan ahead for popular titles. Libraries don't just offer the classics. You can download popular books such as The Lincoln Highway by Elmer Towles for free. On your app, you'll be able to see which titles are available now to borrow and which ones require to join a wait list. You'll see how many people are ahead of you on the list and get an estimate of how many weeks you'll need to wait for the title. Enjoy your book without late-free worries. Most digital loans last about 21 days, then disappear from your phone's app whenever the time's up. So you don't need to remember to return the loan. If you borrowed a particularly long book or don't have enough time to listen during the time period given, you can renew a title you're currently listening to through your library app, as long as no one else is waiting for it. Soups with special powers, and this is Food IQ. You probably heard for years that chicken soup helps you make you feel better when you have a cold. Making that right soup a regular part of your diet is a great way to get some of the nutrients you may be short on, says Joan Siegel-Blake, ED, RDN nutrition professor at Boston University. And the soup doesn't have to be homemade. You can find plenty of store-bought ones with veggies, beans, or whole grains, which provide important nutrients like heart-healthy potassium and fiber. Just be mindful of sodium. Most adults should have less than 2,300 milligrams per day. Here's how to test the best soups for what ails you, along with samples of ones to try. For weight loss, all soups can help you feel full. When people have soup before a meal, they eat about 20% fewer calories, according to research from Penn State. And choosing one that's high in protein, like the pea soup here, will make you feel fuller too. Steer clear of high-calorie cream-based soups, though, if weight loss is your goal. Amy's Organic Split Pea Soup, light in sodium. 120 calories, 5 grams, sodium 310 milligrams, protein 7 grams. For constipation, only 5% of men and 9% women get the recommended daily amount of fiber. For many, this can lead to constipation. If your diet runs low on fiber, try a bean-based soup. A nice mug of bean soup might get things moving, says Sagey Blake. Dr. McDougall's Organic Lentil Vegetable with Kale. Calories 140, fiber 10 grams, sodium 400 milligrams, protein is 8 grams. For battling colds, chicken soup may temporarily reduce stuffiness, control inflammation, and hydrate you when you have a cold, according to a lab study published in the journal Chest, says Sage Blake. It's like a warm blanket in a bowl. Progresso Reduced Sodium Roasted Chicken Noodle Soup. Calories are 90, fiber with 1 gram, sodium is 400 milligrams, that doesn't sound reduced, protein is 6 grams. And for boosting immunity, produce is the body's best sort of vitamin A and C, germ fighters that bolster immunity. Choose a soup with a variety of veggies and you'll get more immune-boosting nutrients in one bowl fill. Garden vegetables includes carrots, celery, sweet potatoes, Swiss chard, and bell pepper. Because sodium in the soup is high, eat lower sodium foods the rest of the day. Trader Joe's Garden Vegetable Soup. Calories are 100. Fiber is 3 grams, sodium is 790 milligrams, and protein is 2 grams. Great tools for homemade soup. The Brevo Control Grip Immersion Blender. This top-rated immersion blender is small enough to fit in the kitchen drawer and powerful enough to puree veggies while they're cooking in your pot. The Vitamix 5200, $480. The Vitamix brand dominates our full-size blender ratings with excellent predicted reliability and owner satisfaction score. This model aced our lab test for pureeing raw veggies into soup, making icy drinks and more. GoWise USA Premier High Performance Heating, $150 blender. Overall score. This budget-friendly is designed for handling hot liquids and garners, an excellent rating for turning raw veggies into soup. CR's Travel Tips. Save on vacations with warehouse clubs. It's not just bulk groceries and rotisserie chickens that await you at Costco and Sam's Clubs. These days, joining a members-only warehouse can sometimes get you great travel bargains. CR recently priced vacation packages at BJ's, Costco's, and Sam's Club and found that warehouse clubs could offer substantial savings over booking directly with hotel, car rental companies, and airlines. You don't always save, though. Shop carefully. Sam's Club was best for hotel-only booking, we tried. Costco had excellent variety of pre-bundled hotel, car, and flight packages, and BJ's offered us a vast selection of hotel and flight options. What's more, in a December 2021 nationally representative CR survey of 2,073 U.S. adults, the majority of people who used big box stores to book travel in the last 3 years told us that customer service and value of the package were excellent or very good. For a look at some of the deals we uncovered, check out what we found, and this is going to be it. Direct booking, and this is first is BJ, second is Costco, and last is Sam's Club. A four-night stay at the Savoy in London for two. Four nights in a superior queen room for two adults. We booked directly on the Savoy website, which offered penalty-free refundable cancellation until 3 days before arrival. Normally, it's $4,087. If ordered from BJ's, the same stay cost less and was fully refundable in 3 days before arrival at $3,120. You save $950. Costco's price for the store was $219 more than booking directly, but including round-trip private airport transfers worth about $200 and a $400 tour credit. Sam's Club offered a lower rate than booking through the Savoy website and was fully refundable until 3 days before arrival. You could save up to $1,219. a 7-night travel package to the Four Seasons Resort at Maui Wailea for two. Ocean View room for hotel for two adults with a full-size rental car and round-trip economy airfare. We booked the hotel on Four Seasons Resort Maui South for $21,658, a rental car through Alamo for $881, and economy flights from New York to United Airlines for $1,202, $23,740. With BJ's, you get the same Ocean View room, rental car, and flight costs slightly less. The club through and a store gift card worth 5% of the total cost, which in this case comes out to roughly $1,000. Costco's nightly monthly Four Seasons Maui package included flights and rental car with unlimited mileage as a perk, and Costco into a $961 gift card. You save $7,684. Sam's Club offered the room and a limited mileage rental car for $23,705, but it doesn't offer flight booking. When we added the 1,202 United flights, this option actually cost $1,167 more than booking directly. As we get close to closing, let's do life in these United States. The word vintage means different things to different people. To me, at 71, vintage means early 20th century. To my 43-year-old daughter, that's the 1950s. So when my 13-year-old granddaughter wanted something vintage for Christmas, I had to ask what she considered vintage. Oh, no, no, she said, back when they used communicate using paper. Growing up, we called one set of grandparents Big Mama and Big Daddy. No one thought much of it until the day one of the grandkids told them they were soon to become great-grandparents. That's when Big Mama put her foot down and told us while she never minded her nickname, she refused to be called the Great Big Mama. Laughingly threatened, my 8-year-old with coal for Christmas, and without missing a beat, he replied, "You mean my future diamonds?" As my husband read his post-off instruction, one director stood out. "You must sleep without pillows for 48 hours. He was appalled, protesting, "I'm not sleeping that long." We sat down at dining room table on the menu. Leftovers. As we were saying grace, I noticed that my young son wasn't joining in. I asked him why. His response, "Because I already blessed it last night." Every year when I get the Christmas lights out of the garage, I am struck by how little respect this year's me has for last year's me. And with that, we have just about run out of time for today's episode of Reader's Digest and Consumer Reports. Be sure to listen in next time. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast on our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That's 919-832-5138. I'm Jim Cronin, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. So long until next week, and thanks so very much for listening.